cold. Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. On the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. Our things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. My guest is award-winning print, television, and radio journalist Joe McNally. And you know, Joe, we were talking about, I wanted to talk about the last three articles that you wrote in the Shepherd Express. But before we go there, we got a caller. CJ, you want to say what?
Well, thank you for taking my call, Earl and Mr. McNally. As I listen to, you know, he sounds more like a pundit than a journalist, because he's focused on Donald Trump, but he avoids to discuss what this president with the Middle East, the border, and the failures of this administration. So I wish and would like to hear something about today that Joe Biden has done to correct the border. You simply have to look at a chart and see the number go from 30,000 a month to 302,000. Last month.
So CJ, I want to say to you, CJ, that it's not a matter of what you want to hear. Joe McNally, I've asked him to talk about the last three articles that he wrote for the Shepherd Express, and that's what we're going to focus on. It's not a matter of what you want to hear. We're talking about Joe's last three articles. Thank you very much for the call. So Joe,
thank you. Thank you, Earl. But let me say, though, I think everything we've been talking about this morning is not about the past, but the future, and the future under Joe Biden as opposed to Donald Trump. I mean, that's simple. One candidate supports democracy and the other one doesn't. One candidate supports equal rights for women and black and brown voters in this country, and the other one doesn't. Talk about immigration, neither Joe Biden nor Donald Trump, as in their presidencies, have succeeded in doing anything about the border, because you can't do anything about the border without Congress passing legislation. And Congress refuses to pass legislation, including a border deal that House Republicans, the nuttiest right-wing Republicans in office right now, worked out with Democrats to add more security at the border, to give the president the right to actually shut down the border. You know, Donald Trump says, you know, that when he's president, he'll just shut down the border. No, he can't do that. And neither can Joe Biden. It requires legislation. There are courts in this country. Donald Trump, if he attempted to shut down the border, the first thing that would happen is the ACLU would go to court and get a restraining order, because that would be a violation of international law, of American laws, of all kinds of laws regarding refugees seeking who are fleeing from corruption and violence in order to save their own lives. Most of the policies that Donald Trump tried to use to shut down the border were overthrown in the court system, and he wasn't allowed to do it. And neither would Joe Biden be allowed to do it. You have to get the Congress of the United States to pass legislation to change what's going on at the border. And they can't write legislation that violates international law or the Constitution of the United States. And every attempt to do something illegal at the border to shut down immigration has failed, ultimately, because we are a nation of laws. And while Donald Trump is claiming that if he is elected, he can actually do all of the things that he didn't do as president for 4 years to shut down the border, he can't, and neither can Joe Biden. And that's why there has to be some kind of legislation that Republicans and Democrats can agree upon about the border that will be legal and constitutional. And neither party has figured out how to do that yet.
Hey, Joe. Joe, hang on a second. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, first of all, regarding the border situation, I wonder how many of these people that are screaming about, you know, stop the floods coming over the border, have actually even seen or met an immigrant, either legal or undocumented. And my guess would be the vast majority of them have not. It's just, you know, this is just so overblown that it's ridiculous. Now, is there a problem down there? Absolutely. It's been exacerbated by the fact that repeatedly funding has been cut back and the number of agents has been cut back. And there's been, you know, there was legislation over a year ago that would have allowed for more funding and allowed us to get more agents to handle that situation. But that was blocked. There is currently legislation that's bipartisan that the majority of Democrats and Republicans, when you put it together, would agree on and pass, that would allow virtually everything that the Republicans have demanded. Well, what's stopping it? Well, again, it's, you know, it's Trump saying, and he's not even in government, and he's making demands on the people that are, so that he can get reelected. This sort of thing has been tried. It goes all the way back as far as Carter, when there were negotiations from I don't remember who was running for president against him at that time. But the bottom line is, I think it was Reagan.
Yeah, it was Reagan. Anyway, 1986.
And the bottom line for that was they interfered with international negotiations in order to elect a president, and it's illegal. The only person that's supposed to be able to do international negotiations, if it's a single person, is the president, or through the administration at least. You can't go in as a private citizen and make an international agreement, and that's essentially what Reagan did.
Hey.
I'm sure you get the picture, but the thing that's one more thing. The thing that's scary about this is the craziness of some of the Trump supporters. I've seen interviews where people have said things like, "If I wanted to live in a democracy, I wouldn't be voting for Trump." Those people have no idea what it's like to live in a dictatorship. And I've been in countries where there have been dictatorships. You see, you know, their TSA has got Uzis over their shoulders because it's the military and in the airport, stuff like that. These people have no idea what they're asking for.
Hey,
and
Jack,
that's what's frightening.
Thank you very much for the call. Joel, you want to respond to anything Jack had to say?
Yeah, I do appreciate the call. Absolutely. I mean, that is it. I mean, you can't violate the Constitution. You can't violate America. You can't, there has never been a democratic country. There's never been a democracy that can shut down their borders to keep people from coming to their country. They really haven't. And the fact that the United States of America, as ugly and racist as Donald Trump and his supporters are, as determined as they are to be a white supremacist country, the fact that black and brown people still have hope of coming here and being able to support their families and to send money back home to their families sometimes, because this is still an attractive country. And you know what else? You know what is amazing about this whole ugly argument? The United States of America desperately needs
yes.
generations of new young workers because we are an aging nation. We are too old and have too many, we have such good health care that Donald Trump tried to destroy that people are living longer and they can't work all their lives. And for Social Security to continue to operate, for all of our support systems in this country, for our entire nation to operate, we need workers in our economy. And we're losing working age workers, basically. The dairy farms all over Wisconsin that really do need immigrant labor, those people are willing to do that work. And the children of those farmers aren't.
And so, Joel,
that is the fact.
Joel, hang on. 844-967-2789. Award-winning journalist Joe McNally is my guest. Darrell Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is award-winning journalist Joel McNally. And Joel, so what I want to do is I want to go to your latest article now, the issues that will decide the presidential election. This is January 29th, appeared in the Shepherd Express. Joel, the issues that will decide the presidential election. Let's talk a little bit about what you say those issues are.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about it all morning, frankly. I mean, the last three articles I've written have been basically the same article. that in fact, this is going to be the most important election in our lifetimes, and I would argue in the history of the country, almost. Because we've never had a presidential election in which one of the candidates opposes American democracy, and the other supports it. I mean, that is such an absurd idea. But that is what has happened, because the Republican Party over the 4 years of Donald Trump's presidency, and now going on 4 years since he was removed from office by an overwhelming majority of the American people, 7 million votes margin, but 81 million votes, the most votes ever cast for a winning president, were cast for Joe Biden. 81 million. Now, that tells you that the majority in this country supports democracy. And frankly, Republicans are insane to nominate him again. They are insane. But they are terrified that they're going to lose the 30% of hardcore white supremacists who believe every word that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth. They are, believe it or not, they are afraid they are going to lose the votes of the violent people who chased both Democrats and Republicans through the halls of Congress, threatening to murder them and attempting to murder them by beating them with clubs, by beating 140 police officers unconscious and giving them physical injuries and brain injuries, frankly, when they were beaten down while people were shrieking hate at them, yelling, "Kill him with his own gun." These are the people they're afraid of losing support in the next presidential election. And so they're terrified to do anything that drives those voters away from the Republican Party.
You know, Joe,
those voters don't deserve, they have the right to vote in America, but they certainly don't have the right to enforce their opinions about democracy on all the rest of the people who want to live in a free country.
You know, Joe, for those who don't know, you live in Charlottesville, Virginia, and you witnessed firsthand when those people came through your town, through your community, with pitchforks and all sorts of things. Let's talk a little bit about, you remember that. So you're not fabricating anything.
And you know what? The same people who came here in 2017, and they wore Nazi armbands, they carried Nazi flags, and they carried Confederate flags. A week before, they were here rioting in our streets. The Klan itself came here, you know, with their hoods. Wearing their hoods, they were also here in 2000. You know, a couple weeks later, as neo Nazis wearing their armbands, but they came from all over America, and you know what that was called? It was called the Unite the Right rally. Their idea of a rally was to beat African Americans with flagpoles in our streets, just like they beat those police officers on January 6th, 21. They were the same people. The same people who were here from all over America were in Washington, D.C. from all over America. One group opened Trump's presidency. That Unite the Right rally was a celebration of Donald Trump's presidency and his election. And they were the same ones who closed Donald Trump's presidency when he tried to use them to stay in office after refusing and trying to browbeat his own vice president into helping him overthrow the government to stay in office after losing the election. Frankly, Mike Pence refused. And because he refused, during the riot on January 6th, Donald Trump sent an email to the rioters that Mike Pence had let them down and refused to save his presidency. And they immediately started chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." This is the man that the Republican Party is nominating this year to run for president again. Yeah, so he can have another track, you know, another crack at destroying democracy violently by mob rule in America. That is insane for the Republican Party to do that, and the American people know it. And here's my final point I want to make. I don't think the Supreme Court is going to delay the trial of Donald Trump over January 6th until after November. It's currently scheduled to start March 4th. Okay? Most people think that, you know, because of this, that presidential immunity thing that says, you know, he can commit any violent crimes he wanted to as president of the United States. That's in an appeals court now, and there'll be a ruling any day, and then the Supreme Court's going to have to deal with it.
So, Joe, when we come back, we've got some callers who want to weigh in. Joe McNally, award-winning journalist, is my guest. I was being carried away by Phil Collins. I forgot I had a radio show and a guest on the line. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. My guest is still my good friend and former colleague, and Joe McNally. Let's go to the phone lines. And Stephen from Green Bay, good morning to you, Stephen. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Earl. I can understand how you'd be carried away by Phil Collins. I was enjoying that shit myself. With that being said, I have a couple of questions for your guest that I'm hoping he can answer. And I'll make it quick because I know you probably have a packed line. The first question is, how did we get to this point in our democracy to begin with? And then the second question would be, I guess I don't understand what the appeal of Trump is and really how he conjured up the base he did. And I was just wondering if he could shed some light into those two topics for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephen, as always. Joe?
Yeah, thanks, Stephen. I was with you in 2016. I did not believe Donald Trump could get elected president in the United States. And neither did a lot of other progressives and intelligent people. we had a whole lot more faith in democracy than was warranted at that time. They looked at progressives weren't very happy with the choices in 2016. But we were pretty sure that someone who was as openly racist as Donald Trump would have trouble getting elected. And Republicans thought so, too. And you know what? Trump thought so as well. He was running a fake election. He simply wanted to attract a lot of attention by being the presidential candidate, and then use it exactly the way he used his presidency and his candidacy to raise money and to get money into his personal family and businesses. It was all a publicity scam to start with. And he was as shocked as anyone when he got elected, frankly. He didn't put his own money into the election. He relied on extreme right-wing people who were glad to hear someone talking openly racist. He came down that elevator talking openly racist. Escalator, the golden escalator, you know, saying that black and brown people coming across our southern border were raping and murdering Americans, and we had to stop it. So he attracted ugly people to start with, and we were pretty sure that those ugly people weren't the majority in America, and they never have been. But by not turning out enough progressives to vote, and there were more ugly racists who weren't saying it out loud than we thought in America, and he won. It was shocking. It was terrible, and it shocked the world. But here's what happened, though. It was so unrepresentative that 2 years later, there were record turnouts to vote to win the House of Representatives. 2 years after that, he not only lost re-election, but lost the presidency and the Republican Party. Republican Party lost the Senate.
Right.
And then in the midterms of Biden, they thought that they could win the House back. They barely did. They thought they were going to win a huge 30 or 40 vote majority in the House, and they did. They were held to a few votes, and now they're down to two votes. Not only that, but they just lost this past year in 2023 in Virginia, where I live, and in Pennsylvania, and other venues. And so they've lost every election under Donald Trump. And believe me, none of us can understand the people who actually are attracted to this guy. But the other thing that helps him is the cowardice of all the Republicans that know better. And they are afraid of losing those votes of crazy, crazy people.
Joe, let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. And that's what we are fighting for in this upcoming election, is a democracy or an authoritarian dictatorship. Also, we need to remember Joe Biden is a workhorse. He is results oriented, whereas Donald Trump is just a show horse. He's just basically someone that you saw on The Apprentice, and a lot of people got, you know, suckered in by that whole thing because it made him like Mr.
Irrelevant.
Smart titan of business, yeah, and all that kind of stuff that people, you know, really, really were tricked by him. And I just hope people really, you know, look at the results that are coming with the internet coming into some of the rural areas of Wisconsin, and the bridge in Superior, and, you know, all the different things that are infrastructure that, you know what, once I wish Joe Biden would say, you know what, I'm not going to be here forever. In fact, I'm probably going to be gone soon, but you know what, I'm doing this for your future. This is your government. This is about your future. And that's why like our other Eisenhower with the freeway system and all these different things did infrastructure. Donald Trump is a show horse and he is a rapist. And I wish people quit saying he's a sexual offender. No, he's a rapist. He raped E. Jean Carroll. And that's what people need to start calling him. And to answer Stephen's question, one of the biggest things that happened, Stephen, to our democracy is money and politics and Citizens United 20 years ago. And somehow this whole idea of us wanting our president to be like us, dumbed down and want to have a beer with. So I would just say, you know, please, everybody, you know, even go to selectacandidatequiz.com. Take a quiz, and you'll find out where it is that you line
up. Hey, Tom, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Susan, thank you.
Hi, good morning. Another wonderful show.
Thank you.
Like I always say, I've read everybody's book who actually worked for him or under him and under Trump. And I find that my take on this is if they don't support him, they feel that the money and the power will go away. And the other people who support him that are not connected with the government, it shows you the volume of racial hatred, fascism that is actually in this country. Because you have to be a fascist in order to support Donald Trump. I'm sorry. That's how my take on it.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. Joe.
Yeah, thanks to all of those folks. I mean, the truth is that the overwhelming majority of Americans know exactly everything Stephen, Tom, and Susan have said. They really do. And they also know that one candidate is on their side and on the side of America, and the other candidate wants to basically end democracy in America. And boy, what could be a more important reason to get out to vote in the presidential election? Everything that the majority of the Americans care about right now, and I'll tell you, to me, I'll tell you what they are. They're abortion rights. They are guns and keeping guns out of our schools and especially assault rifles that were never made for civilian use. They're made for the military fighting in wars. They used against kindergartners or sixth graders, 6-year-olds, they blow those little bodies away, and we're seeing it done over and over again, that is sick, and we got to remove those from our schools, and from civilian use, and we actually have to work on climate change, and to stop the destruction of our planet by ourselves, with the weather catastrophes that are getting worse all the time, from heat to flood to wildfires, to earthquakes, to tidal waves, you name it. I mean, that is insane. We're seeing it happen before our eyes. And all of those things matter to all of the futures of our families and our children. And we have to act on it.
You know, Joe.
There's just no question.
The financial gap between the American people and those at the top is also, you know, at some we've certainly got to fix that.
And you know what? You know what? It is fixed. It is like pulling teeth to get the economists to admit it in public these days. And just yesterday, the Fed said quite casually, you know, that the economy is really good. Why aren't more people saying that out loud? And why isn't the Fed saying, you know what, this really worked well with, in fact, Joe Biden continuing to create jobs throughout his presidency, through the first 3 years of his presidency, and going into the fourth year of his presidency, the economy is booming. You know what? I keep reading these stories every month when the economic reports come out, and they say, you know, economists were surprised again by just how terrific, everything is in America right now. The economy is booming. The stock market is booming. The unemployment rate has stayed around 3%, below 3%. It is insane how in fact good the economy is. Everyone talks about when gas prices hit $5. I now pay $2.80 or something like that for gasoline, and no one talks about that. It's up there in the same big number, on every highway that the $5 was. But everyone's talking about what it was a year and a half ago or something. And it was really high back then, wasn't it?
Yeah, so Joe, I got to get you to hang on. I got to take our last, pay some bills. And when we come back, we'll wrap things up with my good friend and former colleague, award-winning journalist Joe McNally. Minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest has been award-winning journalist Joe McNally. Let's take this final call from Rico from Rock County. Good morning to you, Rico. You say what?
Hey, how you doing, Earl? And
all right.
Hey, man, I just got to thank you for two things this morning. Number one, Earl, thanks for playing that Doobie Brothers. Man, you always get that Doobie Brothers out. That was Doobie Brothers, right?
Which one?
That last song you came into with.
Oh, now, yeah.
Isn't
okay.
That Doobie Brothers?
Yeah, no, I don't know, but just.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Last time I called Doobie Brothers was playing. I don't want to get sidetracked.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to thank you for a great show. I enjoyed listening to the mayor and enjoyed listening to Joe McNally. But as I sit here, it made me think of all throughout my life. I always, when it came to voting in politics, it was always, you got to vote for good. You got to vote for the evil. But most of the time, I want to say growing up, I always, I got to go there and I got to vote for the worst of two evils. And I just can't help but think out there in America, when you look at Joe Biden and you look at Donald Trump, I mean, I would think that would be an obvious choice at this point in the game. If you care anything about democracy, it's a pretty obvious choice. That's all I want.
Hey, Rico, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you for always listening. Joel, as we get ready to wrap this up,
thank you.
What people should know about you is you've always been what we call a cockeyed optimist. And so you always told me when I would not have faith, you would always say, Earl, I've got more faith in the American people than that. And even in this time where, you know, we're so terrified of what can happen, you still have faith that the American people aren't going to put this man back in office.
Now, I don't think there's a choice. I have to be that way, Earl. I the only thing, if you're not that way these days, the consequences are so dire. They are so dire, you wouldn't want to put one foot in front of another and go on. So all you can do, and I am energized. I thrive at bad times because that makes it that much more important for all the people that we've heard over this last half hour on your show. That makes it so important that every one of those people who do know the right thing and do know the difference between Joe Biden as just a decent, fine human being who is trying to do the job of President of the United States to the best of his ability to make life better for people in America every day, compared to someone who has the Republican Party running on hate, running on racism, running on misogyny, running on, you know, destroy democracy in America, and only support the president, only support elections if you win them. No. I mean, none of us want to prevent Republicans from voting. I would wish they would be more and vote more intelligently and would not vote for hate. I would wish that the evangelicals would pay a little attention to what Jesus Christ stood for instead of what Donald Trump stands for. I don't understand. I grew up in a mainstream church, and I simply don't understand this version of what these Christians call religion. That's not the Christianity I learned in Sunday school.
Love thy neighbor as thyself.
God is love, not hate.
Yeah, love thy neighbor as thyself.
And, yeah, I mean, that's, I don't understand how they can call that, what I always hear from the other side is, are you then saying that all Republicans are racist? Well, in my definition, if you support a president of the United States who is openly racist, that's being a racist. And so, yeah, I guess. But we also know that some of those Republicans are more intelligent enough to know better. In fact, you know what? Most of the Republicans who went elected office these days are very well educated, some by some in the finest schools, you know, Princeton and Harvard and Yale and all those places. Those are some of the ugliest Republicans in public office. So I know they're smarter than that. Now, I know Donald Trump is not smarter than that. I know he's not a very intelligent man. He's not a very bright man. But the fact that people who know better would continue to support him just because they can get something out of it, maybe a bigger tax cut for people in their wage bracket, I don't know. But I can't understand that if it's going to mean destroying democracy and destroying this country. You talked earlier about the DIE, you know, diversity, equity and inclusion. And that is the definition of America. America is diverse, equitable, and
should be inclusive.
And
right.
Wants to have everyone included. That is democracy in America. And Republicans are standing up and saying, get rid of diversity in America. Get rid of equity in America. Get rid of inclusiveness in America. Well, if you get rid of those, you don't have America. So I can't understand how intelligent people can say
Hey, Joe, we've got to leave it there, but I guarantee you it's an election year. I'll be coming back to you again, again, and again. That's my guest, award-winning journalist Joe McNally. Thank everybody who made the show go. Up next, Jane Mattenair and Greg Bott and Mattenair on Air. See you tomorrow.